On to the introduction to the new five-year review recommended template for Superfund five-year reviews. Let me just get to the first slide. Oh boy. Okay. All right, so again, welcome to the introduction to the new recommended template for Superfund five-year reviews. My name is Jennifer Edwards, and I work in the Office of Superfund Remediation and Technology Innovation at EPA. The focus of today's webinar is specifically on the new template that was released in January of 2016. Policy and other types of five-year review questions are best directed towards your EPA contacts, additional guidance and answers can be found on the Superfund five-year review website, which is located in the related URL box in the Adobe Connect pod. All right, so the purpose of five-year reviews in the Superfund program is to evaluate the implementation and performance of the remedy in order to determine if the remedy is or will be protective of human health and the environment. And what we're going to talk about today is the report that's used to document that. All right, the goal of the template revisions is a more streamlined and concise document. It's meant to focus the content on information relevant to determining protectiveness. And five-year review reports may include more information as appropriate than what is outlined in the template, particularly as optional appendices. Again, look to your site-specific circumstances to make some of those determinations. This new template does not change the five-year review process. It just changes the report that is used to document the process. The guidance for the five-year review process can be found on the Superfund five-year review webpage, again, at the related link in the related URLs box. The new template increases the focus on new information from the last 5 years and includes optional topics in order to allow you to tailor the five-year review report to your site-specific circumstances. Something to note, at this time, this new recommended template applies only to non-federal facility five-year reviews and is not to be used at federal facility five-year reviews under EPA oversight. Okay, I'm going to go through a few major changes to the five-year review template before we get into looking at the actual template document itself. A few of the major changes from the template include the executive summary is now optional. It may not be required for all sites. In the new template, it is suggested that complex remedies and multiple OU sites may benefit from the inclusion of an executive summary in order to help summarize the multiple OUs at the site and orient the reader to the focus of the five-year review. The new template integrates some of the site background information into the introduction and allows for more thorough background information to be included in the appendix or referenced in other site-related documents. This also removes the site chronology section of the five-year review and allows for that to be included in the appendix as needed or, again, references to, site websites or other site-related documents that may provide site chronology type information. All right. New five-year review template clarifies the instructions for the data review section of the five-year review, again emphasizing the focus on the last 5 years of data, except where historical data may be needed to evaluate trends, focuses on including data relevant to remedy performance and progress towards meeting your site-specific RAOs, and also includes a suggestion to discuss your site-specific groundwater remedy completion strategy. It also allows for the inclusion of graphs, maps, and tables to supplement your data discussion, as well as referencing additional, more detailed data review in an appendix to the five-year review report itself, with the data review section summarizing the more detailed data. The new recommended five-year review template only lists the issues and recommendations once in the report. This serves to reduce repetitiveness and ensure consistency in reporting of those issues and recommendations. In the previous version, there were a few places where issues and recommendations were listed, so hopefully this helps streamline that piece. Same for the protectiveness statements. The new template only lists the protectiveness statement once in the report, reducing the repetition and ensuring consistency in reporting the protectiveness determination and statements. The technical assessment summary asks for a concise summary answer to each of the three questions, question A, B, or C, more than just yes or no, but a concise summary to respond to each of those questions. Again, when we look at the template itself, you'll see what those questions are. There is no technical assessment summary question separate from those three questions. Instead, the summary answer to each of the questions is meant to document your answer to that piece. Okay. The document review section from the body of the report has been moved and changed into a mandatory reference list appendix. Rather than listing the documents reviewed for the five-year review within the document itself, Appendix A, or 1, the reference list, will serve as the place to document those references reviewed for as part of the five-year review. This also maintains consistency with the Superfund Enterprise Management System, which is EPA Superfund's data management system, and allows for improved data entry. You'll see in the template, the Word version of the template, that there are data tables with content controls that's meant to help facilitate data entry and ensure that we're consistently reporting the results of the five-year reviews. Here is an example. You can see in the drop-down, there are a few options to pick from. Those are going to be the same options that the EPA data management system contains so that we can consistently represent the data out of the five-year review. And another example of the content control, you'll see where a milestone date is requested. There is a calendar so that you can easily pick a date to fill in that field. Okay, so real quick, here is the Superfund five-year review website, which again is located in the related URLs box if you are interested in additional five-year review guidance and tools for writing five-year reviews or searching for site-specific five-year reviews. I'm going to pause here before we move into looking at the template itself to see if we have any questions that can be answered right now.
One is, will this template eventually be required for federal facilities? If so, is there a timeline for when federal facilities should expect to change to the new template?
The question was if this template will eventually apply to federal facilities and if there is a timeline for that change. Unfortunately, I do not work in the federal facilities office. We are working with our partners on considering the use of this template. And I cannot give an update on the timeline right now, but suggest you keep an eye on the Superfund Federal Facility website. There is a link to that on the Superfund five-year review webpage, so that is a good place to go for additional information.
The other question is, can you provide examples of sites that the new template should or should not be used at?
The question was for examples of sites that the new template should or should not be used at. This template is for 5-year reviews conducted under CERCLA authority or by Superfund policy. So NPL sites that require 5-year reviews, the need for a 5-year review can be determined by reading the record of decision for the site, and any site that has a CERCLA required 5-year review that is not a federal facility site can use this template. Again, as I said in the beginning, if there are questions on guidance and policy, you can contact your EPA regional contacts. The RPM for the site in question should be able to get you a definitive answer as to whether this template applies. Yes, and if you, there's a transmittal memo for this, and it is required for 5-year reviews as of 5-year reviews that are due beginning in 2017 and forward. Just pausing again to see if there's any more questions that have come in the Q&A pod. Okay, I'm going to suggest that we move on now. If there are any I did not get to, we'll address them at the Q&A session at the end of the presentation. But some of them may be answered by going through the template and seeing it on the screen. Okay, so I'm starting by showing you the instructions part of the 5-year review recommended template. As I discussed earlier, some of the purpose of this new template is to reduce repetitive and reduce repetitive information and focus the 5-year review on that information needed to determine protectiveness. If you look through, I suggest that, you know, that as you begin to use it, make sure to look through the instructions. There are some suggestions in the instructions for how to, use this template for more complex remedies and sites with multiple operable units. One such example, as I mentioned before, is the executive summary. Some remedies are more complex and have more operable units at sites and can benefit from an executive summary, but it is not a required part of the template. As we scroll through the instructions, you'll also see instructions for how to handle the some of the italicized and colored information that is included in the template itself. As you can see here, there will be some highlighted yellow and italicized text in the template that will give instructions to the user. Those yellow highlighted instructions are intended to be deleted before the report is final. So just keep an eye on that as you are writing the report. I'm going to continue scrolling through the instructions. You will also notice text that is highlighted in blue. Blue text is meant to be replaced with the relevant site-specific information. One example would be you will see the site name highlighted in blue. It's expected that you would put the actual name of the site and delete that blue highlight. There is some normal text that is not highlighted or italicized that is meant to be retained as language that is typically appropriate for the 5-year review report. And as I showed you, there will be fields that have content control where you can click to enter a date or click for a drop-down menu to select an item. Again, please try to use those content control fields. They assist us in data entry and maintaining consistency in how we report the results of 5-year reviews. You will also notice here references for some of EPA's existing 5-year review guidance. All of these documents can be found on the Superfund 5-year review webpage, which is a link to which is located in the related URLs box. Okay, so I will start by discussing the introduction. You'll notice the different parts of the instructions that I mentioned here. You can see yellow highlighted and italicized text. You can see blue highlighted text, and you can see some normal text. So the normal text is meant to be retained, the yellow deleted, and the blue replaced. You can see some instructions here on what you should consider if you are writing a five-year review for a multiple OU or extremely complex site. You may consider including an executive summary. You may also consider using a table to list all of the OUs that are covered in the five-year review. If you have a site with only one or two OUs, a table is not necessary. Just make sure you name those OUs in the text of the document. You'll see part of the introduction is the site background, and it is suggested that the site background in this case is streamlined to provide information that will help us determine protectiveness, such as the location of the site, populated, unpopulated areas, a brief physical description, the former and current and reasonably anticipated future land use of the site and areas surrounding the site, and as well as the historical land use of the site that may have resulted in the contamination. If you feel you need to use more background information, consider including an optional appendix with more detailed information, or referencing another document or a place where readers can go to find that information. The five-year review summary form has been carried over from the previous version of the template. You'll see this is kind of the site identification part of the summary form, where you will identify your site and the relevant information related to the site. The other portions of the summary form used to include issues and recommendations and protectiveness statements, and you'll see as we scroll to the end of the document that those tables are still included. However, we're not asking for them to be repeated in the document. We only want them included one time. The next section is the response action summary. The first part is the basis for taking action. In this section, we are really looking for a list of the contaminants or contaminants of concern and the media they impact, and then also discussing the exposure pathways and receptors that have been or could potentially be affected. This section is not looking for a detailed summary of the remedial investigation and feasibility study. It is looking for the two items listed here, the COCs and the exposure pathways. Okay. For the response actions, we're asking for a summary. First, to summarize any pre-record of decision activities, such as CERCLA removal actions or non-CERCLA removals that may have been done prior to a record of decision being signed for the site. And then we are asking for a bulleted list to identify the REOs for the remedies selected in the ROD or amended ROD and the remedy components selected in the ROD or amended ROD. These could be copied and pasted directly out of the records of decision for the site. That will maintain consistency. If the for many of the older rods, it is not as easy to copy and paste out of them, it's okay to rewrite and summarize what the remedy components selected in those rods were. Just make sure they are coming out of the directly out of the rods. We also ask for a table of cleanup levels selected in the ROD to be included as well. The next section covers the status of implementation, and this is looking for a brief discussion of the status of any response or remedial actions that are complete or ongoing. It's asking for a big picture status of the implementation rather than a step-by-step report of the implementation. For example, rather than providing step-by-step, Did the screen move for everyone else? Just me. Okay, good. Sorry about that. Okay, status of implementation. So again, we're looking for a big picture status of the implementation of the remedy. More of a, the groundwater pump and treat system was constructed and began operation in 2004. Then a step-by-step on May 2nd, 2004, the first extraction well was installed, and on June 1st, the second extraction well was installed. Instead, we want a big picture, kind of what is the current status overall. This also asks if there's ICs, institutional controls, as part of the remedy, that an institutional control summary table be included. This institutional control summary table has come out of the guidance recommended evaluation of institutional control supplement to the comprehensive five-year review, which can be found on the Superfund five-year review website in the related links URL. Okay, the next section is system operations and maintenance. If there is an operating system or the system is in O&M, please provide a brief description of O&M requirements and any completed or ongoing O&M activities since the last five-year review. Also, be sure to note any changes to the O&M plan since the last five-year review or problems in the implementation of system operations or O&M, if applicable. You will note here it says optional, include if appropriate. If your remedy did not involve an operating system or you don't have an operating system in place, or if you are still in construction and doing five-year review before your system has begun operations, you do not need to include this section. All right, the next section is progress since the last five-year review. And this section is looking to document the status of the protectiveness from the previous five-year review. So it's suggested that you copy and paste the protectiveness statements directly from that five-year review. It is also looking to document the status on addressing the issues and recommendations from the previous five-year review. So again, the suggestion is to copy and paste those issues and recommendations. The column which says current status has a drop-down menu, and those drop-down menus will help to standardize a brief description of the status. Some examples are it may be complete, ongoing, under discussion, or it may be that it's going to be addressed in this five-year review and carried over as a new five-year review, as a new issue. The column that says current implementation status description is a place where you can provide more details on exactly how that recommendation and issue was addressed. If that column in the table is not big enough to describe the status, you will see a note to include additional information below the table where you can discuss the more detailed status of the implementation of the recommendations from the previous five-year review. Five-year review process. In this section, we are documenting the community notification involvement in site interviews. We encourage you to tailor your community involvement to your site-specific needs. You can use the community involvement plan that many Superfund sites have. You can discuss with the community involvement coordinator for the site or other lead site contacts what the best way to interact and communicate with the community and stakeholders for the site are. You will notice that for interviews, we're asking in the body of the document for a brief summary of the interview results to be included, keeping in mind that the most important things to summarize are information that may help us to make a protectiveness determination. Any interviews that may have notice successes or problems in the implementation of the remedy, of institutional controls, of access, or any unusual situations or problems at the site that may have been identified through the site interview process. Another thing to note, if you are the lead party for conducting the five-year review and conducting the interviews, be sure that you have permission from the interviewees to include their names and any personal identifiable information in the five-year review document. If you do not have that, we suggest that you use more general summary and don't directly name your interviewees. Again, if you have interview transcripts that you would like to include in the document in full, we suggest that you include them in an appendix to the document rather than trying to paste them directly into the report. The next part of the five-year review process is data review. Normally, you don't need to include all of the data and statistical analysis in this section. You should, again, focus on the last 5 years of data, except where you may need historical data to evaluate trends. And you should include a concise summary of the data that you've collected, focusing on data relevant to remedy performance and progress towards meeting RAOs. Also, think about the fact that you're going to have to answer the technical assessment questions and include data that will help to answer those questions. Again, I'll be getting to those questions in a few minutes. So useful data to include, let's go back for a second, sorry. There's also suggestions that it may be useful to separate data by media or submedia. You may want to include your soil data and your groundwater data all together and separate them by media rather than just reporting all data in a lump paragraph. You also, for certain sites, you may consider presenting data by OUs. Depending on how the OUs at the site are broken up, it may make sense to report your data in that manner. Again, I suggest you tailor this to your site-specific circumstances and determine the most helpful way to display your data. So data normally can include a concise summary of the relevant trends over the last 5 years. Consider noting the actual levels to evaluate whether RAOs and associated cleanup levels established in the ROD are likely to be achieved and or have been achieved. Consider including data relevant to support engineering performance, such as data related to assessing plume capture or containment. And for a groundwater cleanup remedy, consider including a brief discussion of data related to your site-specific groundwater remedy completion strategy. Again, tables, maps, graphs, or figures may be used to help explain the text or may be included in an optional appendix. If a document that includes data is referenced, make sure that that document is included in the reference list so that if additional information is needed, the readers will know where to go. And the last piece in this five-year review process section is the site inspection. Again, in this section, we're asking for a brief description of the results of the site inspection, particularly focusing on issues impacting current or future protectiveness, if any such issues were observed. If you are filling out a site inspection checklist or have additional photographs or details of the site inspection, we encourage you to include include that information in an optional appendix. So now we're moving into the technical assessment. The first question of the technical assessment is question A, is this remedy functioning as intended by the decision documents? As mentioned earlier, be sure to include a concise overall summary response to question A here, answering and summarizing the information obtained in carrying out the five-year review process. We have included suggested subheadings and questions to think about when trying to answer question A. You'll see a few of them focus on remedial action performance, system operations and O&M, implementation of institutional controls, and other measures. Each of these sections includes the words optional include if appropriate. As we discussed about tailoring the five-year review to your site-specific circumstances, if you do not have an operating system or O&M, we suggest not including that section. You should be thinking about what the components of your remedy as selected in your ROD are and which questions will help get you to the answer of whether your remedy is functioning as intended. If you are familiar with the previous five-year review template that was in the appendix of the 2001 Comprehensive Five-Year Review Guidance, many of these questions are the same questions that were included in that document, so they have carried over in the same way. Okay. The next question is question B. Are the exposure assumptions, toxicity data, cleanup levels, and remedial action objectives used at the time of the remedy selection still valid? Similar to question A, include a concise overall summary response to question B. Information gathered during the five-year review process can be summarized to answer this question. Again, you will see subheadings below with questions that can help answer question B, and they also include the words optional include if appropriate, so that is open for consideration of the types of REOs, cleanup levels, toxicity data, and exposure assumptions that were selected in the ROD. One thing to note here, although there are separate subheadings, there may be some questions whose answers are related. If you feel that answering a question, for example, on toxicity factors would also need to be addressed when discussing changes in risk assessment methods, you may combine the answers to those two questions in one location rather than repeating it. Again, be sure to tailor this to your site-specific circumstances. One thing to note here, you may consider adding summary tables into this section as appropriate to summarize ARAR information or toxicity or changes in standards, or include more detailed tables in an appendix as far as your ARAR review. Okay. You'll note the last question is question C. This asks, has any other information come to light that could call into question the protectiveness of the remedy? One thing to note on this, to avoid duplication and redundancies, the information included in question C should normally be different from information that's already been covered in questions A and B. For example, if you have an unexpected change in exposure pathway, and you discuss that under question B, it should not be repeated in question C. Normally, this question considers whether there's impacts from natural disasters or other site changes or vulnerabilities related to climate change impacts that were not apparent during remedy selection, implementation, or O&M. The next section of the report is the issues and recommendations section. You will see there is an option if you have any operable units covering the five-year review that do not have issues. You may identify those here and not include the tables located below. Okay. You will note these tables have the content control that allows for consistent reporting of the issues. You also are encouraged to copy and paste, if you have more than one issue, each of these tables to fill in the information for each issue. It's encouraged that the Issues and recommendations included in these tables include those that affect either current or future protectiveness, or both. And be sure to identify all the information required to fill in the tables. As we scroll down, you will note there is a section of the issues and recommendations section entitled Other Findings. This is for other items that you may wish to include in the five-year review report but do not have effect on current or future protectiveness. It could be things that may improve performance of the remedy, reduce costs, improve management of O&M, accelerate site closeout, conserve energy, et cetera, but do not affect current or future protectiveness. And it's suggested that you include a bulleted list in this section. An example might be that the previous five-year reviews are not located in the site repositories. So your other finding may be that you need to include, need to ensure that these site repositories are up to date with all the relevant documents. That's not going to affect current or future protectiveness, but it is another finding that could improve management of the site. All right, the next section is the protectiveness statement of the five-year review. Each individual OU that is included in this five-year review should have a protectiveness determination and statement included in this section. Guidance on wording for protectiveness statements can be found in the memo clarifying the use of protectiveness determinations for CERCLA five-year reviews, which is located on the Superfund five-year review webpage in the related links URL. If you need to add more protectiveness statements for additional OUs, copy and paste the table as many times as you need. Per the five-year review guidance, the planned addendum completion date should be filled in for sites where your protectiveness determination is one of deferred protectiveness. If not, you may delete those words. For sites that have achieved construction completion, a site-wide protectiveness determination and statement should be included. You'll see a box in the template for that entitled Site-Wide Protectiveness Determination. Again, just like the previous box, fill in the determination and the statement and include the planned addendum completion date if at least one OU has a protectiveness of deferred protectiveness. Okay, and then the last change to note is you'll see the Appendix A reference list is asked to be included, and this should include all relevant documents reviewed for the five-year review, as well as information that will allow the reader to find those documents. There is a list of some other optional appendices that you may consider including based on your site-specific circumstances. Some of those I've mentioned already, such as site background and chronology, site inspection checklist. You may include some photos from the site inspection if they help inform your remedy protectiveness evaluation, such as a photo of a breach in a retaining wall or a photo of erosion on a cap. You also may include a more thorough review of errors in this section, summarizing in question B your error review, but including supporting data in an appendix. And you may also include additional data or statistical analysis to support your data review in the appendix. Okay. Again, this template can be found on the Superfund five-year review website that is linked to in the related URLs. And I will pause now to start the Q&A session.
There were a few questions related to getting permission to include people's identifying information in the five-year review. One is it required to get this permission? The second one is do you need written permission or is verbal permission also satisfactory? And the third is, does it hold true for everyone that you interview, or is there a distinction made between public officials or PRPs versus private citizens?
Okay, So the question was on including personal identifiable information in the five-year review. I will give me 1 second to formulate my response to that. This was an update because of a recently released EPA privacy policy, which did not come out of the Superfund office. I would have to look for a reference to that. It really just applies to people who are interviewed who are not acting in an official capacity. So, you know, as you mentioned, if you interviewed the remedial project manager for the site, that person's name can be included. It's really just looking at whether if you interview a resident that lived near the site, just ensure that, you know, they're comfortable with having their name included. The question on written permission.
I guess before, you know, we had the concern was we had residents, nearby residents, and then we also had a phone number or email associated with them. The issue about PII is if we tie too many identifiers to one person, we're releasing too much privacy information about them. So it's most important to get their permission to use their name.
Yes, and so again, as far as written or verbal communication, I would suggest that you work with the community involvement coordinator for the site to get a good feel for what EPA's policy is in that regard.
Another question was, will different regions have different or unique templates, or will this template be uniform across all regions?
So this template is going to be the basis that all regions are using. Because it is meant to be tailored site specifically, for each site you may see slight differences in the information included and the level of detail. And there may be some slight differences in whether executive summaries are included or not included based on the site circumstances and the region. So I think that you will see the majority will all look like this with a few slight differences. Okay, I'll leave a couple more minutes to see if there are any additional questions that come in the Q&A pod.
For private wells, is it acceptable to list the address and results in a five-year review?
Mm-hmm. The question was for private wells, is it okay to list the address and the results in the five-year review? Let me think about it. So I would suggest that, you know, often wells that are monitored are given a name rather than an address. So if the private well is named PW2 or PW3 in your monitoring, I think it would be okay to include that PW2 or PW3. However, I would talk with the site managers and the to ensure that it's okay to use that private address. Again, with the PII, we just want to make sure we're not tying too much personal information and putting it out in the public without permission.
I'm someone wanted to know where you can store video documentation related to a five-year review.
Video documentation. So I believe the regional record centers are able to store video documentation, and they may even be able to upload it to the site profile pages. So I would reach out to the EPA contacts for the site and see whether it can be stored that way. We also, in the Superfund Enterprise Management System, which I mentioned as far as our data management system, there is a records management portion of that where if videos are official records, I believe they can be stored there as well.
On an aerial photo, you can see concentrations of groundwater associated with locations. Is that okay?
Yes. I think that we have not received, right, so the question was if there's an aerial photo with monitoring well locations and concentrations, is that okay to include? We have included that and have not found that it conflicts with the privacy policy.
Even if it's at a private residence?
Yes, even if it's at a private residence, I believe, as long as the monitoring wells are usually labeled, you know, MW1, MW2, or PW1, PW2, if the labels are more nondescript, that has been included.
Someone asked, will the format of interviews and site inspection be the same, or have they changed?
The format has not changed. Those are still as they were included in the 2001 Comprehensive Five-Year Review Guidance, and they're still available on the web in the PDF version of the Comprehensive Five-Year Review Guidance and also in Word versions to allow for them to be filled in with information more easily. Okay, we'll just give one more minute for any additional Q&A, and then we will wrap up.
Should phone numbers and email addresses be redacted from interview forms before publication?
So the question was, should phone numbers and email addresses be redacted before publication? That probably depends on whose phone number and whose email address. If someone is acting in their official capacity related to the site, it may not be necessary to remove that information. However, you would want to discuss with private citizens or nearby residents if that shouldn't be included. Again, I'm not an expert on EPA's privacy policy, so I suggest you discuss this with the community involvement coordinator at your site and any EPA privacy policy experts you can get in touch with. Okay, I think that wraps up this session. Thank you all for participating. Again, please see the Superfund five-year review webpage for guidance and policy related to Superfund five-year reviews, and be sure to contact your EPA regional project managers for any questions related to specific site five-year reviews.
And then once again, a reminder that we do have a copy of today's presentation materials on the resources tab of today's seminar homepage. And we also would ask folks to please submit the feedback form. And you can access the feedback form from the feedback tab on today's seminar homepage, as well as the related URLs pod in the right middle of your screen. And again, if there's a checkbox on that feedback form that after you submit it, you can select to have an email as a record of your participation in today's event sent to you. And today's seminar will be archived with the sound included, and in about 2 weeks, you should be receiving an email, and that's about how long it takes for the archive to become available. And one last thank you for participating in today's event. And you may go ahead and sign up and subscribe to our CLUIN podcast feed to receive new archived seminars as they become available. And you could do that at cluin.org/live.